The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you take it, Sim, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D. Lovely. Downtown Las Vegas. What are we expecting? 107, 108 today? Degrees? Fahrenheit?
It's too hot. It's too hot. I've been beaten down by it a couple of these days.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the... I don't know if you know this, but you're in a desert.
Where you have to retreat indoors and just crank down the AC.
Totally. Well said. Retreat indoors.
Retreat.
Yes.
And then I don't know about you, but you and I are in and out of like the casinos so much that My mother, former nurse, always tells me this is just an old wives' tale.
Oh, but I know what's coming.
It's this, like the runny nose sniffles because we go in from
air
like 63 degrees to 110 degrees.
Yep. It's like flying from Vegas to San Francisco in July. It's like a 50-degree drop. We are loaded today. Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst, talking NBA Finals with us as the NBA Finals does us all a favor and resumes tonight with Game 3 at Dallas, the American Airlines Arena. JVT will join us momentarily. Sia Nejad on the U.S. Open. Matt Grissom on the College World Series. Wilson Hilson will join us with all his bets, as will Jason Weingart from Under a Cloud of Smoke. So everybody coming up on the show today. We want to start with... as PTI usually says, a melancholy goodbye to Jerry West. Jerry West, this just a couple weeks after the passing of another NBA great, Bill Walton, which caught everybody by surprise because no one really knew Bill was sick. Well, Jerry West passing away at the age of 86 years old. What can you say about Jerry West other than starting with he's the NBA logo? It's his silhouette. That is the logo of the entire National Basketball Association. If you go back way in his childhood, grew up in a West Virginia coal mining town. Kelly, his older brother, died in the Korean War. He struggled with depression throughout his life, but was just a basketball great. Three-time All-American at West Virginia, 14 seasons in the NBA, all-star in every one of them.
Incredible.
Along with Wilt and Oscar were the first people to get to 25,000 points. He's still to this day one of only five NBA players in history to average 25, 5, and 5 throughout a career. 25 points, wow. 5 boards, and 5 assists. And I think probably even better, as great as his NBA career was, one of the 50 greats of all time, one of the 75 greats, he's a better executive. And there's so many stories. There's the famous Kobe story where he shut down the workout when he was working for the Lakers. He's like, we don't need to see it. We don't want anybody else to see any more of this kid.
Yep, yep.
They traded for him famously on draft day. But he also, from the Warriors' standpoint, he was a consultant to the Warriors. He was the one who nixed a Klay Thompson trade so many years ago. Remember, there was a proposed Klay Thompson for Kevin Love trade. I want to say this was back in 2014 even. And Jerry West was like, nope, you don't want to do that. So many things that he touched. He was also with the Clippers when they acquired Kawhi and Paul George. Mm-hmm. So many, just a basketball life that was just phenomenal. And sadly, can I just say this as a postscript? I'm sad that I even have to add this, but to a younger generation, their only exposure to him might have been from that HBO Max Winning Time series where he was portrayed awfully.
Yeah.
And remember, we came on air. And maybe Parles was my producer at the time, but I would always say, like, you know, the only thing I don't understand about this, why are they murdering Jerry West in this?
I was with you because you and I kept talking about, we loved the series so much.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I don't think we've talked about this in a long time. I still haven't fired up season two because I was so depressed when I heard they canceled it. I'm like, I'm
same
not going to watch season two.
Me too.
But you're right. It was, I mean, that was a great series. And yes, that was one of the few awkward parts about it. You're like, why do they make him look so bad?
Yeah. Most famous shot, for those who remember this way back when, also we'll leave it at this, but in the 1970 NBA Finals against the Knicks, he hit a 60-footer to force overtime in Game 3, too. That was his most iconic moment on the court.
He's the logo, man.
End of the day,
he's the logo. It's not MJ. It's not anybody else. It's Jerry West.
Yeah, Jerry West, may he rest in peace, passing away at the age of 86. No artful way to segue to today's NBA and to our betting thoughts. But let me just start with another tried and true theme here on the show, which is, boy, oh boy, when Nevada gets sports betting, what a state this is going to be to live in when they legalize it here. Kelly, yesterday I wanted to make a donation and bet the NBA Finals MVP. I wanted to bet Jrue Holiday at plus 750, which, you know, like plus 750 bets are likely to lose, correct?
Correct.
I searched around town. Nobody had it. Not a single shop that I found had NBA Finals MVP up. Now, of course, DraftKings is not here.
I'm checking.
So you can buy, you can do it so in your jurisdiction with DraftKings and other books, but you can't do it in the state of Nevada, apparently, because nobody. Now you can, by the way. It's not like a Nevada gaming thing. You're allowed to do it.
They had
them before.
Yeah, I mean, I bet it before.
They don't have it up this morning either. So anyway.
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to
give you my money. You will not take my money.
It is. I mean, you and I were texting about it. Just something.
It's a great description.
How many times a month?
It is something.
How many times a month I walk around this city being like, will you take my money? Who will take my money here? Nobody? No, you don't want to take my money.
Okay. Are we booking or are we not booking? Kelly provides a rundown, by the way. Kelly has so many roles as producer number 9 on this show. Show bouncer being perhaps his most important one. But also he provides me with a rundown before every show. Now, Kelly, you provide notes. I don't really consult them 19 of 20 times, would you say? But every once in a while, you'll put something in here.
Yeah, but I like you to have them.
No, I love that you put them. Because every once in a while, you'll put a nugget in there. I'll be like, oh, Ben Wilson, all around great guy. See what you wrote there.
today.
Well, you have a Joey Chestnut note, which I'm sort of giggling in my head.
But major news kill. Come on, man.
We'll get to that momentarily. But the other one is Kristaps Porzingis, of course, yeah. Who suffered what the team called a rare injury. That's a quote to his left leg. It is listed as questionable for tonight's game, game 3 of the NBA Finals. Let me just tell you what that leg injury is in terms of the medical terminology. A dislocation of the posterior tibialis tendon in his left leg. Yeah, that's not common. So the Celtics said yesterday that you even had it different. Torn medial, I don't even know how to say this word.
Yeah, me either.
Retinaculum?
Retinaculum?
Right,
sure.
Allowing a dislocation of the posterior tibialis tendon in his left leg. So they said his status.
Yeah, but a Twitter doctor went way in here.
Twitter doctor, Brian Sutterer, no relation to Roger Federer. He says the medial retinaculum, I don't know, I'm not saying that right, is like a seatbelt that keeps the tendons in place as they course around the inside of the ankle bone. There are 3 tendons that travel along the inside of the ankle, and that seatbelt keeps them secured in place. The posterior tibialis tendon is one of said tendons. Shams adds...
That was Shams' original tweet on this. You want to hear Missoula talking about it yesterday? I thought he had interesting comments.
Well,
yesterday.
The point I was going to make is everybody's saying, so they're saying he's day to day.
Right.
How in the world is he day to day? There's no way he's playing tonight. Right?
I wouldn't think so, but let's listen to Missoula.
Here's what Joe Missoula had to say, head coach of the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing anything and everything he can to be ready for the game tomorrow. It's a serious injury, and at the end of the day, our team and the medical team is not going to put him in any bad situations. And so we've taken a decision to play out of his hands because of the importance of him. And so he's going to do everything he can to play, and then we're going to leave it up to our medical team, and that's really it.
And that's the important part. Serious injury, we're taking the decision out of his hands.
Yep.
So up 2-0, I can't imagine they play him tonight. And by the way... my spider senses tell me he ain't playing at all. I just feel like you don't risk that.
So this is where it's hard for me to remove myself from my Mavericks ticket, right?
Right.
But as a Mavericks bettor, like this is a, even him, like him not going, Gil, hasn't made that much of a difference in 2 games. Like, I don't know that I'm going to expect it would in the third. So if you're the Boston side, I mean, I would at least be resting him tonight. I mean, obviously, this...
Well, he mattered in game 1.
Oh, he was big. What has he played? 41 minutes, I believe, over the course of 2 games? The big difference is where you get the... big difference is, okay, you can run him and Horford, and you don't have to fall back then to the other option that's going to be the next guy coming off the bench where finally Boston becomes maybe a little weak where you can attack them. But the way they've handled this Dallas offense so far, Horford's been great. Like I don't know that right now I'm all that concerned about a huge drop-off for Boston. Therefore, if I'm Boston, there's no way I'm playing him tonight.
Mavericks now a 2.5-point favorite. Game 3 tonight. Total at 213. We haven't talked about the total. You lean in. Both of these have gone under so far.
Yeah, I leaned. I bet over in game one. Leaned over in both of them. I don't know how you can look that way until you finally see something out of this Dallas offense that looks like they are operating with some sort of efficiency, because they have not shown that at all in the first two games.
So as a guy with a Mavericks ticket, what you're telling me is this does not qualify as a glimmer of hope to you. Like the Porzingis,
I gotta see something.
Porzingis
no.
Perhaps being out here does not give you some light in the door.
I got to see. I don't want to say completely not, because of course it does a little bit, but like the Dallas Mavericks got to show they can beat this team even without Porzingis. I don't know they've really proven that they can win those minutes so far. They haven't. They haven't won those minutes.
Say you didn't have your ticket. Would you take Boston in five at plus 205?
Probably.
Gentlemen sweep?
Yeah.
Dallas takes one of these two?
Probably.
Tonight or Friday night, and then they come back and they win it Monday night in Boston.
Do you think that is the most likely outcome? The one bet I did make tonight was I've bet this, I don't think every game, but the past two games, PJ Washington over his points, over 14.5. He's been the one. Not like this isn't something that's going to win you games. That's why it doesn't matter that much. But often the way that Boston's been defending, they end up having a smaller defender on PJ Washington, and him being able to attack the rim along with being there for those threes, I think it gives him a lot of scoring opportunities, like him over 14.5.
JVT's thoughts on the NBA Finals on the other side, and a whole bunch of U.S. Open, which begins tomorrow at Pinehurst in Pinehurst, North Carolina. Coming back on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
U.S. Open, golf's third major tomorrow. Get an in-depth betting preview of the U.S. Open with VSiN's golf betting experts on the Long Shots podcast. It's called Long Shots. Wes Reynolds, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bidelon. I'm not sure who that is. Break down every aspect of this year's toughest major, including their best bets. You can watch Long Shots today, right after this show, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, right here on VSiN.
That's right.
I thought about you yesterday, because when John Rahm pulled out, I was like, didn't Kelly just record Long Shots and he was going to fade Rahm? Like, how much did you devote to that?
I sound like such a jackass on there. Being like, this is such a great fade opportunity.
Oh, but man.
I found Tommy Fleetwood. Oh, God. I found Fleetwood in town. Ed Boyd, minus 104 in a matchup over Rahm. I hammered it. And I was like, this is going to be a high stakes weekend. Oh boy, like this is going to be fun. And then Rahm with Charles.
I want to bring JVT in for this. Jonathan Von Tobel, our NBA senior analyst, and of course co-host of VSiN Primetime, which he does with Tim Murray here weekdays at the network. Joey Chestnut has been banned. Now this is one of these things that I saw come up on the phone yesterday, but didn't care enough to pursue. But I was like, oh, Joey Chestnut got banned. Banned from July 4th Nathan's hot dog eating contest because he signed an endorsement deal with a plant-based hot dog company. Impossible Foods, JVT tells me off air. Chestnut has won every year since 2015, and my only thought reading this was, has anyone checked on Mitch and Pauly? Like, are they okay?
Yeah.
Or is this the episode? Is this the part of the behind the music of Follow the Money where they spiral into drugs, depression, and alcohol?
What? Why?
Do you remember Behind the? Oh, you're too young for Behind the Music.
No, I remember that. Yeah.
VH1's Behind the Music, which at the time in the late '90s was like the greatest documentaries you could ever see. It was before 30 for 30s. They had like a template where like a band would rise from oblivion, or an artist.
Right.
Then, because of some internal strife, egos, someone dies, drugs, depression, alcohol, whatever, they would just go to rock bottom, and then they would rise from the ashes. That was the template for all of them. It's like when Behind the Music returns, Lynyrd Skynyrd spirals into drugs, depression, and alcohol. It's like every one of those was like. So I'm like worried about Mitch and Paul. Someone should check on this. John, is this a big thing on your radar?
Oh, I mean, I think so. Look, 4th of July, there's not much going on. This is a big betting event, and I actually think it makes it more interesting.
Now
right?
It's because way more bettable,
different
right?
Options.
Yeah.
Right. Like, there was only one betting option for you in this competition. It was over-under hot dogs for Joey Chestnut. Now we're looking at different matchups. We're looking at the futures board. We're seeing who's going to win this thing. Like, there's so many different angles now that you can take that he's been banned. Look, Nathan's, let's not make any offense or buts about this. Nathan's are cowards, right? They just let the man eat. He's one of our greatest athletes that we've ever seen.
Oh,
and you're
on.
Just eliminating him from this because of an endorsement deal. It's ridiculous. But it does make it more interesting from a betting perspective. I'm going to say Handel's going to be up for the 4th of July hot dog eating contest.
Well, this is the same thing.
Oh, I agree with you on that.
Well, it was Kobayashi, right? Didn't he sign with like another like major league eating like league or something? And they were like, no, you got to be only a part of our league. You can't compete anymore. That's how those.
What this really is. This is Major League Eating turning into boxing, right? Boxing has held back some of its greatest fights because of bureaucratic red tape and nonsense of all of these promoters protecting their biggest fighters. It's a little bit different. Now the bureaucracy is getting in the way of having two great athletes go at it. So what I have proposed, Gil, I proposed this yesterday, is we're having these stupid golf matches all the time, which I think have jumped the shark. Nobody really cares about them anymore. Give me a match between Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi. They are free agents. Let them go at it. Let's pick a food. I will pay for it. I'll get Netflix, whatever it is. Let's get another one in here now that these two aren't going to be on the 4th of July. Now the Chestnut's out, all no holds barred. Let's get this thing done.
It's a great call.
Boy, did I ask the right person.
People would watch that more than they'll watch July 4th.
Before we move on from this, did I hear correctly? Did you just call him our greatest living athlete? Is that what you just said about Joey Chestnut?
I said one of. You could argue Michael Jordan. You could argue with some of these others, but I think he's one of our greatest living athletes.
He's
absolutely
up there. He's up there.
My goodness. Okay. Let's talk NBA Finals. I remember when ESPN did that 100 Greatest Living Athletes, and Kornheiser picked Secretariat number one, and he took like all kinds of incoming on it. Imagine if it was JBT. So I was like, "Oh, Joey Chestnut." Okay, I'm just worried about the follow the money guys because it's a huge deal for them, right? Don't they have them on all the time? So I'm just worried about them. Hope they're okay.
I'd be more worried about Mitch, who just adopted a young baby boy. How about that?
Can we congratulate Mitch on air? Yes. We found out yesterday after the show. Goulet came here and he told us that Mitch and his wife adopted a little boy. What a blessing. I texted Mitch yesterday, but I'll say it on air what I said to him, which is congratulations, mazel tov. What a absolute life-affirming, life-changing thing. And may it be everything that he and his wife ever imagined it to be, to the positive. So congratulations to Mitch on that. Obviously much more of an important thing. Okay, NBA Finals. We were just talking, Kelly and I, about the Porzingis injury, which, again, is a very rare one. There's not really a comp for this, so we can't lean on, oh, that guy had this and he was out for this amount of time. I'm, again, just spider senses for me. I don't think there's any way he plays tonight. I'm not sure he plays again, quite frankly. I don't know. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. If that's the case, if he's out, let's start with tonight. How much does that move the needle for you? Because it incrementally moved the betting line.
Yeah, I think it moves, for me, it moves the needle, I think, more from a total perspective than it does from a side perspective. With him not out there, it does a lot of different things for Dallas. First off, defensively for Dallas, now you, thank God, have finally somewhere to stash one of your centers defensively. Right now, you can have somebody as a non-shooting threat because the guy who's going to be out there instead of Al Horford is probably going to be Luke Kornet. So you're perfectly fine putting your five on their five and not being in a position where you're going to get destroyed. On the other end, and why I think this helps offensively, is now Luka Doncic is going to have a true center to go after, and he's going to be able to attack drop coverage. Kornet is going to drop. They're going to have success there. The lobs might come back in those minutes too. So I think that helps your offense kind of open up here. But I do think we have to remember, Gil, Kornet, if he does play and Kristaps Porzingis does not, he is still coming off of the bench. We're still talking about maybe 20 minutes for Kornet in these spells, and Al Horford's minutes are generally going to go up. And I don't know if that impact is enough, if you're right. And by the way, I tend to agree with you because the Celtics have lied every step of the way about Porzingis from before the series all the way up to this point right now. So I think that it's impactful from a scoring standpoint, and the market kind of bet these overs, right? Game one really went over, the number went up. Game two, you saw a little bit of as well. I think you're more willing to bet these games over now if Porzingis is not going to play, as opposed to rush to bet the Dallas Mavericks to win this series, because while it's impactful, you still got to figure out how to contain this dribble penetration that has destroyed you through two games. And you still have a team that is one of the best shooting teams, best catch and shoot shooting teams, that has shot absolutely abhorrently through the first two games. And that has yet to come around too. So I don't think it moves the needle for me from, hey, Dallas has a chance. I think it's more of these games become a little bit more higher scoring because Dallas can actually operate on offense.
So let's clarify that. So you believe that Dallas does have a puncher's chance here to come back and win this series, or you do not?
No, I don't. I want to make that clear. No, I don't. Like, I think that Boston's going to win this series. I still think there is a perfectly reasonable chance that they still win this in about five, which is what my my selection was before the series began. Because I think one of the things out of all of the conversations we've had about this series, the one thing that is not really being talked about enough is the fact that the Celtics have figured out this defense. They are shooting 83% at the rim. They went 14 of 14 in game one. They went 20 of 27 in game two. Their spacing has absolutely demolished one of the best paint defenses in the NBA. And you are still, for a vast majority of your minutes on the floor, because Al Horford's going to start and be your starting center. If Porzingis cannot play, you're going to have a five that is going to be needed to be taken, to be noticed, right, defensively. You're going to have to respect him. And that, I think, is still going to be there. So I think all of the advantages that Boston has are still there. I just think you get more scoring from Dallas and maybe these games get a little bit higher scoring.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you this, and I'm not putting you on blast because I'm going to raise my hand and say I'm front of the line for this. I have felt, I said this in some form the last couple days, I have felt that I have had less of a feel of this NBA playoffs as a collective than I have in any postseason in any sport that I can actually remember. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there was one. But I just feel like I was wrong about everything, with the headline being, of course, Denver losing to Minnesota in seven. But I've been wrong about multiple things. Then I thought that Minnesota-Denver was the NBA Finals, de facto NBA Finals, and so on and so forth. Do you feel that way? Do you feel, maybe not the worst, but do you feel like it's up there in terms of, you know, postseasons that have not gone as precisely as you thought they would have? And if you do, is there a reason for that? Is there something happening in the league that is causing this?
So I think you guys talked about this on Monday when I was on Follow the Money, and as I was driving home and listening, I said, yep, I was listening as you were talking about it. I agree. And I do think that some of this does have to do with the injuries that we've experienced. You know, there's been quite a few injuries that have changed series. I think one of the best examples is New York and Indiana. As somebody who had laid 1.5 games in New York and felt confident in the Knicks, they go up 2-0, and then what happens? OG Anunoby gets hurt, Mitchell Robinson gets hurt, and then the rest of the way, they play like a team that has nobody left. And we can go through series after series where you kind of see some of those examples. You get a wild series like Timberwolves Nuggets, which was all over the place. But I do think with the injuries and guys being in and out of the lineups, I think that has helped with the, I think, chaos, you can say, of what this postseason has been to a certain extent. I'm with you. I have not had the best read overall.
I'll also bring up what I told you on the break of the, if you would have told me that the Mavericks would look this much worse than the Pacers from last round, that would have been the most shocking thing to me going into
Well, that's what I get. Just when you think it can't get any more ridiculous, right? Yeah. And I guess, and you can't predict that thing. I guess the only, I guess there is a listener or two out there who are probably like, with Thibodeau, you could have actually predicted this, right? Like, that's the one team that you might have been able to, like, I probably should stay away from. But other than that, you just can't, right? I mean, it just is what it is, as the kids say. John, appreciate the Joey Chestnut insight as well. Thank you, sir.
Of course, you got it.
At me, JVT. JVT, weight loss thing going well? Are you feeling confident about it with Dustin?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's going to lose.
Okay, there's our quick update on that. Look at him having beverages with hints of flavor. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. We'll come back. We'll talk about multiple sports, including golf next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that's Zyn. So what makes Zyn number one? Here are the stats. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. It's available in 10 varieties and 2 strengths, and is made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, it delivers up to 1 hour of nicotine satisfaction per pouch. Whether you're managing your fantasy lineup on the go, watching the game from the stands, or cheering on your favorite team from the couch, you can get the nicotine satisfaction you want with Zyn. Not sure if Zyn is for you? Give it a try with our 10-day trial. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com/Zyn10. That's Zyn, Zyn.com/Zyn10. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free. What else can you say that about in life? Don't answer that, Kelly.
I want.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Now that I ask it, probably shouldn't have. Trip Tepper. An argument could be made that the Kobe Bryant trade orchestrated by Jerry West is the greatest trade in NBA history. You could absolutely make that argument. A draft day trade with the Charlotte Hornets, engineered by the great Jerry West, who, in case you missed it, passed away at the age of 86, was announced this morning. DP, advocate Advocate Skirmish has Drew Holiday at 5-1 for MVP. Doesn't help us here in Nevada there, DP, but thank
shorter.
You. Wow. Yeah. Teasers and parlays. We need a segment each week where Dr. Gil Alexander breaks down tendons and ligaments to so eloquently, along with bouncer Kelly Bidlin pronouncing tennis player and hockey goalie names. I'm for it.
I got something better for you. How about we got USA versus India ICC T20 match starting right now in Long Island.
We got to get Dan Weston on.
Yeah,
you're right.
We do. Apparently, U.S. cricket's like a thing or something.
I just beat Pakistan
last week. It was a big deal.
It's like one of the largest upsets in sports history.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
3JackH3131. Gil, behind the music was great, but can we bring back pop-up videos? Wow.
Oh, that was some pop-up video.
Pop-up video. What did they do? They had, like, comedians commenting on stuff that was going down in the videos?
Yeah, it would be, like, music video, yeah, and then little text would pop up on screen. It's awesome. It's like, remember Mystery Science Theater 3000 or whatever? I loved that
show, too.
I do not. Oh, they used to watch, like, old movies, and then they just comment over them the whole time?
When Behind the Music continues, Rick James laments not remembering 5 years of his life. Tree Jack also goes on to say, looking forward to the MLB wins in June update as a holder of a Baltimore Orioles ticket. Great show as always. Oh, good. Well, thank you for that. The current update, your Baltimore Orioles. Boop, 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 boop. Just checking this out right now. Your Baltimore Orioles should be at the top or near the top. Sorry, I didn't have this prepared as we Ron Burgundy through these.
It's okay. I'll add, I discovered my second favorite player on the Baltimore Orioles the other day. You know Ryan Mountcastle is my favorite. I didn't know the second baseman had such a great name, too. Jordan Westberg. Westberg. That's a good one.
Jordan Westberg.
I like
gotcha.
That.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Yankees 8-2, Orioles 8-3. Leading the June sweepstakes so far. The Astros, 6-4. Cody, Brooksgate, our guy from yesterday that we were talking about with baseball stats, he just put out something 7 minutes ago about teams that have performed the worst this year against the Rockies, the White Sox, and the Marlins. And there are the Guardians at the top of that, and that's what cost us May bet on this. And finally, the Auburnist. We'll read more tweets later. Let's not forget about the futures bets in the hot dog eating contest. Found the field 7-1 against Joey Chestnut before the news. Isn't that getting voided, though?
Probably.
Oh, Auburnist. Good thinking, though.
Good thought.
Good thinking, man. SEC. He hates that, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, from Washington, D.C., commonly known as the DMV when you throw in Maryland, Virginia to all the kids today, it's our buddy Sia Najad who joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line to talk U.S. Open. He's the host and analyst for Monumental Sports Network, and you can follow him on Twitter at Sia, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D, Najad on Twitter. How you doing, Sia?
I'm doing well. You all just took me down memory lane. Like the VH1 MTV old reality music related, sometimes not music related. Like we could go to like Celebrity Rehab. Like there's so many different shows that were really good content that are irreplaceable. We don't see them anymore today.
What a great way to grow up, right? It was so good back then. Okay, US Open, Pinehurst. What are you looking for here in a golfer, and how are we starting with Scottie Scheffler? How are we dealing with him?
By the way, Surreal Life, that's another really good one. Go back and watch those. How are we dealing with Scottie? So this is interesting. So last week, here's how I dealt with Scottie. I bet outrights in the without Scottie Scheffler market, and one of them was Colin Morikawa. Now, I bet him both ways. I bet Colin Morikawa at 14-1, and then I bet him at 10-1. This is last week, 10-1 without Scottie Scheffler. I think you can do that this week, but I do think there's also an argument that while Scottie Scheffler is clearly an unbelievable course fit, and while he's clearly the best golfer in the world, I think this golf course offers enough variance, enough random trouble and potentially bad luck that you could just go ahead and roll the dice and just play the outright market with Scottie Scheffler included. I think it really comes down to your risk tolerance, how much the number is depleted if you do it without Scottie Scheffler. So far, I've only placed two outright bets, and they've both been with Scottie Scheffler because I placed these bets early when I knew the without Scottie Scheffler market wasn't even going to be available. It was Sunday afternoon when I took Colin Morikawa at 20-1 and Hideki Matsuyama at 50-1. So I may go back, since I've only bet two guys, I may go back and add one or two plays, and I'm still deciding deciding whether or not those plays are going to include Scottie Scheffler or be without Scottie Scheffler. But I think you could play it either way this week.
And Sia points that out because even last week or the week before, I can't remember, it was a week before because I wasn't here last week, you were playing outright markets that did not include him, correct? And now you're saying right. For this one, you're fine. By the way, I played Scheffler top 5 minus 135, and I played Scheffler top 10 minus 235.
Nice. I like it. Yeah. I'm kind of chuckling over here because I made those same – I made Morikawa and Decky bets, I think, on the same day, same time as you, Sia. That's why I emailed you this morning. I hope you win a lot of money this week.
Top 20s, top 30s, I see you got a couple.
Yeah, so as you can tell, I like Hideki Matsuyama. I like what he can do on tough courses. We saw even round 4 at the Memorial. Like, that was a really tough round for pretty much everybody other than a handful of players. Hideki Matsuyama was one of those handful of players. I think his odds are sort of depressed a little bit because he has been shaking off injuries, it feels like, over the last couple of years, but certainly earlier in the year, and he had a recent withdrawal. I like how he looked at the Memorial, and so I like him as an outright, but I also like him as a top 20 play, especially when I'm getting plus 160. So I've got Hideki in the top 20 market there. I think you could ladder him. Again, you got to be careful with ladder, and by laddering, I mean you could take him top 10, top 20, top 30, and just kind of adjust your unit size accordingly. With that said, again, that this course does offer a lot of blow-up opportunities, so you could ladder somebody, and this is not, you know, he could completely bomb, but I do like Hideki's ability to shine on a tough course, especially with his recent form. Other finishing position plays, a couple of guys that played well last week and I think are good at tough courses, are good at saving par, which is what you're going to need to do. Alex Noren, T30 at plus 165, and Christian Bezuidenhout at plus 170. Bezuidenhout had a really good week last week. He doesn't feel like a great course fit because he's not great off the tee. He's not super accurate. He's not super long, but he has been super dialed in with his long irons, and we know his short game is there. And so the short game is going to be really important this week. Those are a few finishing position plays I like.
Whenever I hear Bezuidenhout, I hear Matt Brown in the background just screaming his name.
Bezuidenhout
every time.
Hey, see, I got a question for you. I feel like there's not a lot of people talking about this week. But you don't have him on your card. I don't have him on my card. So I think you're the perfect person to ask this. Cam Smith. I feel like everybody's either fading him or betting on him. Where do you stand on Cam Smith this week?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't love his form coming in. I did see a long thread on Twitter about somebody who followed his round. I literally was just looking at it like 10 minutes ago, and he looks to be in pretty good form, according to that thread. And there was like video along with the thread, so I mean, it was reliable information. At least in his practice round, he looked very comfortable. He's a guy that has sort of that strokes gain magic beans where, you know, like he can kind of figure it out, save par, do things on a tough course that a lot of people can't do or aren't even comfortable trying. So I think Cam Smith is fine. He's not going to make my outright card. I mean, admittedly, some of these live guys, I just don't know what to do with. Like, I'm not betting Brooks Koepka either. I'm not betting Bryson. I think those two guys are going to be some of the popular names. I have no problem. I take no issue with anybody betting Cam Smith. And honestly, I think in the top 20, top 30 market, he makes a lot of sense, but he's not making my outright card.
All right, 60 seconds, Sia. Rafa on clay, Iga on clay, and then Sia Najat on first round leader bets. What do you got?
Oh, I got Rafa for one. Also, I got the Mavericks tonight. I'm wearing Dallas blue.
Oh, there you go.
I like them money line. I think they're live to win this series. It's plus 600 or so.
Let's go.
Just going out there. All right. First round leaders, Colin Morikawa. He's great in first rounds. The only reason I didn't have him last week as a first round leader is because he started in the afternoon and he still almost got the first round lead. Love the form. Cashed him last week in the without Scottie Scheffler market. Give me plus 3,000 as a first round leader. Here's three more. Justin Thomas and Tony Finau. I'll group them together because I don't think they can do it over 4 days with the putter, but I do think they can do it for one, and their ball striking has been amazing. So give me Justin Thomas at 45-1, Tony Finau at 55-1, and then finally taking a shot again at Sam Burns. It burned me 2 weeks ago, no pun intended, because he was in a two-way tie and then he got passed by David Skins, everybody. But I little FOMO on that. I'm going to take him a little sprinkle at 60-1.
See ya. Thank you so much. By the way, you said you'd love the Mavs to win the series. Kelly's got a ticket. He didn't even get excited when you said he's so like downtrodden.
I hope Sia's right, man. I hope he's
right. I like the number right now.
He likes the number. Always bet the number. There was a guy at the South Point that used to say that. Bet the number. Thank you, Sia. Appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.
We're coming back. College baseball, College World Series with Matt Grissom next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's a numbers game. I'm Gil Alexander. Coming up, we're going to talk U.S. Open. But first, here's Stormy Bonatoni with your moment of zen.
This is your betting moment of Zyn, brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. Find your moment of Zyn at Zyn.com. Stormy Bonantoni here with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, diving into the odds for the NFL's Offensive Rookie of the Year. To the surprise of no one, number one overall pick Caleb Williams is the shortest shot to claim the hardware at plus 135. The Bears QB is set to be a day one starter and has plenty of skill position talent to work with. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and fellow top 10 pick Roma Dunze, to name a few. And the Bears on paper have one of the weaker strength of schedules. From one former Heisman Trophy winner to another, Commanders QB Jaden Daniels is next on the odds board at plus 650. Daniels' ability as a runner should help his case, especially with new OC Cliff Kingsbury in tow. Marvin Harrison Jr. is set at 7-1, followed by J.J. McCarthy 12-1, Malik Nabers 18-1, and Drake May 22-1. This has been your daily betting moment of Zyn. Learn more about Zyn smoke-free nicotine pouches at Zyn.com. Warning: this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Zyn is intended for adult nicotine users over 21 years of age.
Thank you, Stormy. From grown-worthy dad jokes to patching up skinned knees, your dad is one of a kind. This Father's Day, give him a gift that's guaranteed to take him to his happy place. Omaha Steaks packages starting at $99. When you go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code VSIN at checkout to get $10 off your order, show your dad the love he deserves with a gift as unforgettable as he is. Visit omahasteaks.com and use promo code VSIN at checkout. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Billen.
Do you think you'll ever be able to hear the word Omaha again and not think about Peyton Manning yelling it?
It's a great, I thought you were going to go with Omaha Steaks, but I was about to say, no, Peyton Manning screaming Omaha.
That's all I can think. That's really all I can think of whenever I hear
that. Because he did it with that Peyton Manning voice.
Omaha!
Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Just like we're Peyton. Basically
it's
the
like,
same guy.
It's like Peyton was sitting right here next to me. We get tweets of beating the book. This is from Eric at EFeezy450. All right, EFeezy. Hot dog producers are missing out on a huge opportunity to match up Kobayashi versus Chestnut to destroy Nathan's stronghold on hot dog contest. I'm looking at you, Hebrew National. Your dogs are already superior. That's great. Buddhist man, we love Buddhists. Watching today on a 30-minute delay, I was rushing to my Twitter machine, copyright Anthony Irwin Kornheiser, to make the exact Secretariat versus Joey Chestnut comparison that you did, Gil. I was even going to work in a Joey Chestnut is chewing like a tremendous machine, which is how Secretariat was described down the stretch at the 1973 Belmont Stakes. And then the numbers, guys. Morning, gang. College World Series is 4 from the ACC and 4 from the SEC. Dang. I long for the days of Cal State Fullerton and Long Beach State. Then again, one of them may very well be in the ACC now. That A is for Atlantic Ocean, right? That's very good as well. And he's feeling good, he says, about Scotty at plus 325 for the U.S. Open. That's what he's got. Scotty Scheffler to win the U.S. Open. Before we get your U.S. Open thoughts, do have picks at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, no matter the sport, for subscribers, our picks are up at VSiN.com/picks. I had two grass court tennis picks overnight, one of which was played. We lost. I had Yannick Hanfmann. I had him at plus, well, let me get the exact number right here, at plus 178. He loses to Big T Francis Tiafo, 7-5, 7-6, lost 7-5 in the breaker. Hanfmann in break points today, 0-11.
Is that good?
It's like it's the quintessential nice handicap. Sorry it didn't work out, buddy.
That sucks, man. That sucks.
0-11. I mean, there are tennis matches you bet where someone goes double digits opportunities, but they hit a few of them. 0-11. The only one that's left is in Nottingham in England. Heather Watson, the Brit, I have her at plus 185. She's about plus 178 right now against Karolina Pliskova, who used to be awesome on grass. Hasn't played nearly as much through the last few years because of injuries. But I got Watson at plus 185. That's a little later on. U.S. Open, Pinehurst, North Carolina, golf's third major of the year. Scotty Scheffler is your short shot. You, Kelly, have done not one, not two, but 75 episodes of Long Shots this week. We look forward to the broadcast here in about 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. Much more detail there, but we could definitely run through everything.
Yeah, what do you got?
Everything here. This is, quick course notes. I think if you are looking to handicap at home yourself, This is a Pinehurst number two is a very different and interesting setup. You can, if you watch any of the flyover video or anything, you'll basically see a very nice golf course, Gil, that looks like a great U.S. Open setup, except instead of 4-inch rough, you just have that all torn out and ripped out in some of these waste areas with wire grass and stuff, man, that these guys got to play out of. So what is that going to mean? Well, you want to stay out of that, but you're going to see, you talked about it a little bit. You're going to see some really random lies. Like sometimes guys are going to have clean shots out of there. Sometimes they're going to be an absolute disaster. So
I can see some disaster on this overhead.
This is why, yeah. I don't disagree. I made some bets in the winter without Scottie Scheffler market, but I don't disagree with Sia's thought of there could be some, you know, just more variance at a course like this that you might actually be more willing to go up against Scheffler just because some crazy stuff might happen.
And as you pointed out yesterday, it wasn't like he was infallible this past weekend. He wobbled a lot.
Yeah, he did. And this is where I think you and I were having this conversation off air, but I was asking Sia Najat about Cameron Smith because I think he's one of the most often brought up guys I've heard from other golf bettors this week, and with a lot of people on him or against him. And I think reasons for that both make sense. He's an around the greens wizard. Everybody remembers that from the Open last year where he won. This is going to be a tournament where around the green play is very, very important. So that part makes sense. Here's the part that doesn't make sense. And I know Matt Brown's fading him, and I know this is part of the reason why. The guy's gained strokes off the tee in one event in on LIV this year. LIV is not as good as the PGA Tour. If you're not beating the field, gaining off the tee, it means you are not driving the ball very well. And if you're going to be playing out of the wire grass waste areas all tournament long, I don't have much faith in it. I'm staying away. Sounds like C is staying away for the most part, too, because I could see either reality playing out, but not. I'm not interested in that this week. From 2014, seven holes at a bogey or worse percentage at 30% or more. That is a lot. Three putt rate was over 5% in 2014 when they last played here. So you're going to see a lot of that. Greens are going to be very tough. They are extremely firm. I know we have a couple of videos of this as well. You're going to see balls hit here that you think are going to be great shots, and they are going to roll right off the green. And then these guys got to play from these shaved down greens. There were a couple of videos floating around of, just these guys dropping balls and watch this thing just roll.
Tabletop.
Exactly.
Look at that.
This is going to be tough on approach, Gil. This is going to be tough putting that these guys got to deal with this week.
I love this. This is what the U.S. Open is supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be great U.S. Open conditions. You just don't have the really thick rough that we all get used to. So this is, you're going to see a lot of these balls just run off the green and run down into these areas. This is a video of a chip onto the green, and you're going to see this roll right back off.
Odds of someone saying this course is unfair at some point during the week.
Oh, minus 10,000.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're going to see a lot of that. That's important. Important stuff to look at this week. So that, I think it makes a lot of sense for what Sia was talking about. This is called Morikawa, using like a 5-wood around the green. You know, you're going to have to make the decision. Do you want to chip? Do you want to try to just putt it from off the green? Do you want to use a different club like he is? So all that stuff to keep in mind. As far as my bets for the week, a couple outrights I mentioned earlier. Same thing. I bet Morikawa Sunday morning in the outright market. That was all that was posted at that point. And Hideki, I had bet, I believe, on Sunday, if not Saturday, 50-1 as well. Guys, I added winner without Scheffler. I did add Keegan there this week. Look, Keegan has been great off the tee. If you were on him last week, sorry, you got the full Keegan Bradley experience, one shot off the lead on Friday and then completely craters over the weekend. But I will be back on him going just for the high end result here with the winner without Scheffler market. And then I added Brooks Gil. When we're talking U.S. Open, tough conditions, mental fortitude, if you will, these guys gonna have, there's always one guy you got to think of, and it's Brooks Koepka. So I didn't go crazy with it, but a winner without Scheffler market, I did add him at 18-1. I thought that was a good number. I'm willing to go with. Love Scheffler this week. Look, he's number one rated guy. Five wins last eight times he's teed it up. Hard to ignore that. I'm with you. Top five. Let's go. And then my three biggest bets this week would be Scheffler top five and then Shoffley, Morikawa top 10. They were my two biggest bets last week. I'm going right back to them. Shoffley and Morikawa, I think, set up perfectly for this. Morikawa is on an absolute heater right now. So him in the top 20 market as well. Tommy Fleetwood, really haven't bet him at all this year. The game's starting to come around, though. Yeah, another. He's not the furthest, not the longest off the tee, not the longest with his irons, Gil, which concerns me a little bit because that is definitely what you need to be looking for this week in a golfer. This is still a long track, no matter how much you hear about accuracy off the tee being more important. These guys still got to bomb it. But like him enough in the top 20 market at plus money, plus 138. And then you could go, if you want to aim high on these guys, I decided to play top 40, Sepp Straka and Aaron Rye. Both of them rate out really high for me this week, though. If you wanted to take a longer shot, play them in the top 20 market, I wouldn't hate it. Aaron Rye over Steven Yeager in a tournament matchup. Wipe away all my John Rahm matchups. Those got destroyed. And Hideki Matsuyama is the top Japanese player.
I'm going to ask you a question. You can think about it over the break and give an answer the other end. Is there a current tour player who is a comp to like an Andy North, who only won three tournaments in his whole career, but two were U.S. Opens? That's the question. You can answer that on the other side. Jason Weingarten joins us as well. Numbers Game.